Welcome and good morning to the Lord's house today. We invite to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. As we begin our services here at Zion Lutheran, we begin with the singing of our opening hymn, Lord, Open Now My Heart to Hear.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, June 22nd, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Darren Jacobs, Diane Breen, and Josh Hellman. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 908, Lord, Open Now My Heart to Hear, number 908 in the Lutheran Service Book. Brian and Pam Featon are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in honor of their 45th wedding anniversary on June 28th. Emma Lou Knauer is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me.
Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God.
But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head.
I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill.
I lay down and slept, I woke again, for the Lord sustained me.
I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around.
Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, and you break the teeth of the wicked.
Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people.
And you, Lord,
glory be to God on high. Be with you. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Cast out all sins and evil desires from us. Pour into our hearts your Holy Spirit to guide us into all blessedness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the second Sunday of Pentecost, is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter, beginning at the first verse. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I, to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. Indeed, I will indeed repay into their bosom, both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord. As new wine is found in the cluster, they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servant's sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the table of duties, what does the table of duties say to workers of all kinds?
Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free.
The epistle reading from Galatians, the 3rd chapter. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And then if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the desert. Jesus then asked him, What's your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. When the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of the Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, any children who'd like to come forward for the children's message are invited to do so. Good morning, everyone. So I want you to tell me, what do you see out there? People. Okay, people. Let's see what we can see. How many people with beards? What do you think, Will? Several?
A lot of them.
Okay, a lot of them. All right. Caleb, how many out there do you think are moms? Do you see any moms out there? Is your mom sitting out there? Yeah? Yeah. Well, you're right. There's moms out there. Okay. And how many people do you think out there are losing their hair? Yeah, quite a few. Yeah, me too. It was right up here at the top. Getting a little thin up there, a little thin back here. All right, where do you think all these people are from? Different places around the world. Their ancestors are from different places, and they're from different places in town and outside of town. All of that. And yet, we're all very different. We're all incredibly unique. As a matter of fact, there's nobody in the world like you. You are a unique individual. You are your own person with your own personality and your own manners and mannerisms and all kinds of things like that. And yet, at the exact same time, Paul tells us in our second reading today, we are all one in Christ. Because as many of you have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have put on Christ Jesus. So, as baptized children of God, when God looks at this group, what do you think he sees? Do you think he sees all the differences that we see? I'm sure he does, but do you know what else he sees? He sees his Son, Jesus. Because each and every one of us who are baptized into Christ have Christ draped over us in such a way that when God looks at us, he sees his own dear Son. He sees Jesus, his Son, who did everything for us so that we might have eternal life, so that we might be saved. So when we're looking at each other, when we're looking at one another, not only do we see moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and friends and cousins and all different kinds of people, we also see somebody out there, a lot of somebodies, who Jesus died for. And we look to our left, and we look to our right, and we look to the front, and we look to the back, and we look all around us, and what do we see? We see people whom Jesus died for. We see people who God loved so much that he sent his Son into the world to live for them, to die for them, to rise again for them. In other words, what we see out there is our brothers and sisters in Christ. For we are all one in Christ Jesus, one body with one head, and the one head is Jesus. So it's important for us to remember that when we look at our friends, when we look at our loved ones, and we look at all the people in the world, even when we're frustrated, even when we're super happy, even when we're super sad, what do we see? We see people who Jesus loves. We see people who Jesus died for. We see people in Christ our Savior. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to see in the folks in our congregation people whom Jesus died for. And let us see outside of our congregation people who Jesus died for. And whenever we walk by somebody in the grocery store, let us see somebody whom Jesus died for. Let us understand that all people in the world are that person for whom Jesus died and rose again for. And let us carry the message of Jesus into the entire world so that everybody knows they are someone whom Jesus died for. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming down, and I invite the congregation to turn to our next hymn as we continue the service with the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 594, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, hymn number 594 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Then the people came out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning in our gospel reading, we find Jesus going to the country of the Gerasenes, a place that was quite literally opposite of Galilee. Galilee was predominantly Jewish in culture, while the region the possessed man hailed from was heavily influenced by pagan religions. And this is no small thing. In our culture, in our time, we seek to eliminate the supernatural, the spiritual. We seek rational explanations about everything that we see and experience. But as Paul writes to the Corinthians, we see that there are spiritual realities all around us. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many partake of one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what the pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be a participant with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" So we see that pagans are under demonic influence and demonic allure. And yet we see that Jesus does not limit his ministry to the people around Galilee. Jesus goes to the Gentile regions. And what do we see happening in these areas? Well, what we have today is the account of a man who is possessed by a demon and who meets and comes into an encounter with Jesus himself. The man is possessed by demons, and it's a graphic description. How he came to be possessed by demons? We don't know. Scripture does not tell us this. It alludes to the fact that he would be a pagan. It's clear that people understood the difference between demon possession and mental illness, and they understood that this man was clearly possessed by demons. The people of the community had tried to restrain him. They had tried to chain him up and keep him under lock and key, so to speak, with guards around him, showing us that he was quite the disruption to his community. We also see the demons had no regard for the man, that they gave him the supernatural strength to break the chains and break the shackles, but I'm sure his skin was torn, his bones were bruised, his arms and legs were sore and chafed, all kinds of things, that he was in much pain from breaking loose of his bonds. We are also told that the man lived in the tombs. Likely they were naturally occurring caves or caves carved out of stone in places set for the dead to decompose. Either way, being in the tombs would make one ritually unclean. So we have an unclean man in an unclean place. And it is evident from the description that the man was unkept, not bathing nor grooming, likely having an unshaven face, matted hair upon his head, feet that were full of calluses and nails that were full of dirt and whatever else was underneath them. His hands with the same appearance of being dirty and torn up and calloused from living out in the wilderness. And who knows what he ate, being driven to madness by the demons. And the scripture tells us he was also naked. He wore no clothes at all. Like others who are possessed by demons that we find in the scripture, the man came to Jesus. It's as if the demons are drawn to Jesus to confront him in their anger and their hate, and yet in fear of him at the exact same time. And when the man came to Jesus and the demons confronted Jesus, what did Jesus do? Clearly, he commanded the demons to come out of the man. And this prompted a conversation to occur. Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man because it had often seized the man by violence. And Jesus was demonstrating his theory, or his authority, I mean, over unclean spirits. So here we encounter a hostile witness to exactly who Jesus is. And it's demonic forces who are the hostile witness. They attest to whom Jesus is, calling him by name and identifying him as the Son of the Most High. These words echo back to Gabriel telling Mary just who her son is. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Little did Mary know that such a confession would come from the mouth of demons. Jesus asked the demon its name, and we, the hearers, find out that it's not a demon, but many demons inhabiting this man, as characterized by the name Legion. We see that the tormentors assume that Jesus is just going to do just what they themselves have been doing, that Jesus would take some form of delight in tormenting them before the appointed time by commanding them into the abyss. You know how liars assume everybody else lies. A thief assumes everybody else steals. A cheater assumes everybody else cheats. The demons who take delight in tormenting humans assume automatically that Jesus would take delight in the torment of them. But not so. They don't want to go to the abyss. The abyss or the lake of fire, as we know it from the rich man and Lazarus, would be a place of agony, as it is written in the scriptures. For the rich man died, and in Hades, being in torment, he cried out to Abraham, "Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water, for I am in anguish in this flame." So while the abyss prepared for the devil and his angels will be a place of torment, God takes no delight in that type of torment. He takes no delight at the just reward of those who reject him. So for the moment, Jesus shows mercy to the legion of devils who gave them permission to enter into the hogs. Unclean spirits in an unclean place end up in unclean animals. And as St. Mark tells us, the herd of pigs numbered about 2,000. And the demons entered the hogs. They rushed down the hill and into the lake and drowned themselves. So about 2,000 hogs drowned themselves as they were driven to madness by evil spirits. And the swineherds, much like the shepherds at Jesus' birth, and yet very unlike the shepherds at Jesus' birth, hot-footed into town, telling everyone they met what had happened. And next we find the man from whom the demons had gone out of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. What a short sentence. But as they were by the water, it would seem that the man bathed, and with the help of Jesus and his disciples, I would gather his nails were trimmed, his hair was combed, his teeth were cleaned. Extra clothes that might have been on the boat were given to the man so that he might cover himself up and put clothing on, given to him, and he was likely provided a meal from the men's food stores. In other words, the disciples took care of this man. And in the short time the man was released from demon possession, he has become a disciple of Jesus. The Word creates faith, and this man had come to faith in Jesus Christ. This man, who was even unclean from the get-go, not even of the people of Israel, became a disciple. He is changed. He becomes Jesus' disciple. Being Jesus' disciple changes us. Of course, we know that we're sinful. We know that we commit sins. And yet imagine what we would be without God's law to guide us. The man who would have cursed Jesus now praises him. The man who was formerly naked is now modest in public. The man who cared not for his appearance now treated his body as the temple of the Lord. So we see that a faith encounter with Jesus should alter the way that we speak, alter the way we act, alter the way that we treat people. The truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt and deceitful, and desires are awful, and to be renewed in your mind, in your spirit, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. As St. Paul goes on to write, therefore, having put away every falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those who are in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as that is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you are sealed for that day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Yeah. An encounter with Jesus changes you. And each and every one of us has been changed by our encounter with Jesus, has been changed by our baptism into Christ. As the hymn said, God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. So let us examine ourselves. Let us repent where we need to repent. Let us rejoice where we can rejoice. And let us ask Christ for the grace to reflect him to the world around us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark A. Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, through baptism we have each had a transforming encounter with you. Our old Adam has been drowned and our new Adam has arisen with true faith in you. Now we ask that through the work of the Holy Spirit, our lives would be transformed and we would live lives that reflect the faith that has been created in us through your saving word and work. Grant that we continually be renewed in our faith in you and our expression of faith, that following your will and law to the glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God and Lord, we pray for all those who are sick and who are in need of your healing. Listen, we ask you, to the prayers of your disciples who cry out to you from the hospital and or from at home. Grant them the answer of yes to their prayers and bestow upon them faith that trusts you in all things, so that if your answer to them is no, they may have the faith that says, "Thy will be done." We thank you, O Lord, that Carl has returned home from the hospital. We ask you for his continued recovery and a return to health and strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you this day for the labor of the Lutheran women in mission as they follow in the footsteps of their mothers in the faith, Mary and Martha, Dorcas and Lydia, and a host of others. As these women assemble for the National Convention, we ask that they be buoyed up in their faith and strengthened for the race that they have been given to run. Hear us as we pray for the delegates who go to represent our congregation and our circuit. Give unto Linda Hashman and Linda McEwen safe travels to and from the convention. And we ask that in addition to their service in your kingdom, they also renew the bonds of friendship and be strengthened in fellowship with their peers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear God, as our world is becoming engulfed in bitter resentment and warfare, and as our country is closer and closer to being drawn into open conflict, we humbly ask that our political leaders would cease their petty bickering, name-calling, shallow and vapid grandstanding, and be the men and women of thought, wisdom, and foresight as the people we expected them to be upon their election. We do not fear passionate debate, but we do desire formal and respectful dialogue between opposing viewpoints. Therefore, do we now humbly ask for you to bestow wisdom on our president, our Congress, and all our political leaders, that with wise counsel that they would make the hard decisions for the welfare of our nation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
These and all other petitions upon our heart and in our minds, we bring before your throne of grace and mercy as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 924, Lord, Dismiss Us With Your Blessing, hymn number 924 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I have a few announcements this morning. First is that next Sunday, there's a voters meeting between services to approve the funding request for our school for its 50th anniversary celebration. So that's next Sunday in between services, special voters meeting to approve the funding request from the school committee, the 50th anniversary committee for the school. The junior and senior high youth groups, those who turned in their permission slips to go bowling today, meet shortly after second service, meet up in the youth room for some time of games and some pizza for lunch. Then they're going to go to the bowling alley, and parents may pick their kids up at the bowling alley at 3 o'clock. Also remember, later today at from 6 to 8 is the swimming sponsored by Zion Lutheran School PTL. And so we have swimming tonight at the rec, so the entire congregation is invited to the rec tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. We have school board meeting from 12 to 3 o'clock today. And Dr. Perry, that is in the teacher's lounge? Oh, it's here. Okay, did not look in the right emails. Okay, so 12 to 3? No, 1 to 3. No, 12 to 3. I'm going to go back and do some reading. All right, 12 to 3 here at the church. And you're going to be meeting in the big classroom downstairs? Okay, probably in the big classroom downstairs for that. Lori?
We have the Go On Pictorial Directory. The photographer is going to be here Friday, July 25th from 3 to 8. Saturday from 10 to 8, and then Sunday from 12 to 5. They are wanting us to fill up Saturday first, and we would like at least 65 families to sign up to get their pictures taken. Next week, I will have the sign-up papers for the appointments for your pictures out there, so just keep these dates in mind so that we have a lot of families to do our pictorial directory.
And Lori, will there be information on sitting fees and packages and things like that?
As right now at this time, there is no sitting fee.
Okay.
And if you get your picture taken and come back and view your pictures, you get a free 8x10 and a free directory.
All right. And they've been working on that for a year and a half now, is about. So we're glad that's coming to fruition. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.